Because of these situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that the whole world witnessed for it. The whole world witnessed for Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi having connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? In which manner? I will tell you now. Any part of the world, when you say the name Shaykh al-Hadith without anything added to it, without no names added to it, right away everyone thinks of Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, the Shaykh of Hadith. In Medina Munawwara, he used to receive mail. Sometime that the whole address on the mail, this is the whole address, believe me, on the mail, Shaykh al-Hadith, Medina Munawwara. The mail is coming from different parts of the world. It gets right to him because they know one Shaykh al-Hadith at this time. It gets right to Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi alayhi. This reminds me of Imam Baghawi rahmatullahi alayhi. When he wrote his book Masabih al-Sunnah, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream telling him Ahyaka Allahu kama ahyayta sunnati. May Allah always keep your name alive the way you kept my ahadith alive. And through that dua, people just out of nowhere, people started using the title for him as Muhyus Sunnah, the one who revived the Sunnah. And here we find for Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi alayhi, everyone is using the title Shaykh al-Hadith. His attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such. When would never start a journey, he would never travel in his life without having the approval from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most of the time, we have a person in our gathering, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, Madda Zilluhu Al-Ali. Most of the time, he would send him, go to the Rawza Aqdas and find out what are the instructions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my journey. If he would say go, then I would go. If he would say no, I won't go. A person who would never take a step in his life without having that instruction from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people used to invite him from different parts of the world, he used to tell them, I'm ready. Let me see if I get a permission to go there. One day he's sitting by Rawza Aqdas, by the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would never dare to go towards the front. He used to say, I have no face to show Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot go towards the front. So he used to go towards the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And men in this old age used to do things that we with all of our physical strength at our young age are not able to do. We'll sit for hours over there without a single movement. For hours he will be sitting there. His head down, he's sitting. What is he doing? Only he knows and his God knows. But we know only one thing, that he is having that connection over there from inside. What is beyond that? We don't know. One day while he's sitting, all of a sudden he calls one of his students. He says, come quick. He's afraid. What happened? He says, turn my toe, turn my toe. He's not able to turn his own toe. He doesn't have that strength in that old age. He can't move himself. Turn my toe. What happened, Hazrat? So he turns his toe quickly. What happened? As I'm sitting, my toe slipped and started facing the Rawza, and I don't want my toe to be facing the Rawza. It's disrespect for me, for my toe to be facing that direction. There is so much. And those ayahs that we talked about, really, I didn't even get chance to go to just even one of those. But still, this is only introduction to those ayahs. And the time, as I see, is chasing us too fast. So let me just make a last point here. of how we benefit from the silsila of Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi and get those blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were showering on that great man. Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he used to say, and especially at the end of his life, you look at his letters that he wrote to his students, and especially to those of his students that are running institutions or that are ulooms, he used to write them, "My dear, the source of all the fitna these days is the ghafla, is forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and protection against all of these fitnas is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He used to say, "With so much life that I spend doing all of this work and teaching hadith," he taught hadith more than Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi taught his book himself. He spent more years teaching Bukhari than Imam Bukhari himself. He says, "Throughout this life I have learned one lesson." Subhanallah, if such a great man would tell us that word, it is something that he's giving us the gist of all of the whole life. He says, "Throughout my life I learned one thing, and that thing is that the protection against all fitnas is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." If you do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's still even in this day and age, Allah will protect you against the fitnas. There is a hadith that is forcing me to say something about it. But here I'm talking about the dhikr. Let me go to the hadith and come back, which is also attached to this topic. He was explaining the ahadith as he's talking about the ahadith being Shaykh al-Hadith. He says there is a hadith that says, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba." Every person on the Day of Judgment will be with those that he loves. This hadith, let me tell you a quick background of this hadith. Once a villager came to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were very happy to see that villager, and they said to him, "You know, we need to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi a question, but we are afraid to ask that question." "What is the question?" "I'll ask. Don't worry about it." "Okay, please do us this favor, ask him this question." "What is the question?" "The question is, ask him, al-mar'u yuhibbul qawm wa lamma yalhaq bihim." Sometime you love someone, but you cannot be in akhirah with that person because that person is so great and you are much below that person according to your deeds. So you can never make it with him in Jannah. But you love to be with that person. So he went and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I have a question." "What's the question?" He says, "Al-mar'u yuhibbul qawm wa lamma yalhaq bihim." Sometime you love a person, you cannot be with them in the akhirah. So what will be the situation and the position of that man, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reply was, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba." Every person will be with those whom he loves in this world. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een say, that was the happiest day of our life because we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. Explaining this hadith, Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi said that when we do the work of deen, you will be able to do the work only in one way, in one field, because of our abilities we are very limited. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the work in all different fields of life, but for us we are very limited, our abilities are limited, so we are able to do the work only in one or two fields maximum. So the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi explaining this hadith, he used to say that do one work and put all of your efforts doing one work and love all the great people who are doing the other work, so inshallah in akhirah you will be with all of those people. Alhamdulillah.